Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Give it up for the band, huh? Oh, man. Dang. Trevor on lead vocals. Jai on guitar, man. Somebody. What's up, Champion Center? Are you guys having a good summer? I hope you're having a great summer. If you're standing, you can go ahead and grab a seat. And it is, it's great to be in church this weekend. I hope you're ready for something incredibly powerful to happen. God wants to speak something incredibly powerful in your life this weekend. And you know, before we move on, we do a lot of fun stuff in the summer, as you just saw. And one of the cool things that's happening this Wednesday, everybody say the team rally. The team rally happens this Wednesday. Here's what's cool is we have free food at 6:15, okay? Nothing better than free food in the summer when we all hang out together. Free food, the team rally. If you haven't been here, we only do this like three times, maybe four times a year, where we come together as a whole team. And it's just one of the fun things that we're doing. We got summer playlists going on right now. We've got the team rally. We have team church conference. We have At the Movies coming up. So stay tuned, stay plugged in. We don't take a step back in the summertime. We like to press in. And if you're like new to church here, or you're like, what? Well, these people are crazy. We are a little bit crazy. We're okay with that. It's better to err on the side of overzealous passion than the other. Okay, so if you didn't know and you're like here, and maybe this is your first time, and you're like, what just happened? We played Bon Jovi in church. We're all going to hell. Well, hey, this is our summer playlist, and we've been having a lot of fun with this series. And here's how it works. We take a big selection of popular secular songs so that kind of everyone at least somewhere in time knows or has heard of these songs. Then you all vote on them. And what you do is you vote and we pick four. There's 4 weeks of summer playlists. This is week three. And you vote. The top four songs come our way. And then our pastoral team has to figure out a way to preach a message on these songs. How are we going to preach on Bon Jovi? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it my best shot. And I mean it seriously. I believe God has something really powerful he wants to share with you today. We've been praying. We've been working as a team. And already it's been impactful. And it's been impactful in my own life. But I want to get right into this. So I think we could all agree that this song we just heard is about a guy who has had his heart broken by this girl. Okay? This girl's a player. She is. It's just the truth. And he goes on to sing about this. The lyrics really are like an accusation that's been leveled against someone who's evidently underperformed in his expectations of their relationship. This person who hasn't lived up to the standard of love, the standards of commitment and faithfulness. He's basically saying to himself, you are a bad person to be in love with, but I still love you. And he doesn't know why. I think this song is really an example for all of us. It's common to all of us, the theme of this song. And in the same way that this song points out the failure of this person who hasn't measured up in the standard of love, I think we all deal with inner voices, internal dialogue, things that we say to ourselves that pull us down and condemn us and accuse us. And I want to talk to this song, or about this song, from the standpoint that it might be, this song might actually be what's on loop in our own head about ourselves, that we give love a bad name. We give love a bad name when it comes to being a mom or a dad or a friend. Maybe a child of God. So I want to reread just a few of the lyrics from that perspective. I want to flip the script as if we're the ones saying this back to ourselves. Shot through the heart, and I'm to blame. I give love a bad name. Now, at the end of the song, it repeats. You give love a bad name. You give love a bad name. It's just literally on loop. It's like on repeat over and over. And yet in our head, a lot of times, we're shouting, I give love a bad name. And it sounds a little different, but the theme is negativity. It's condemnation, always trying to pull us down to the lowest common denominator. If that negativity is on repeat in your head, it feels like there's a finger being pointed right at us of every failure that we've made, or how we've always failed in every situation that we faced. Or we're in the same situation again. Yeah, remember last time? You blew that. And that's the conversation. That's the negative self-talk going on inside our head. Your conversation might sound like, man, I'm just a bad Christian. I never get this right. I'm a terrible husband. I wonder how we're going to figure this out. So that voice of condemnation, that is not from God. If it's guilt and negativity, and it's pulling you down, that is our adversary. He loves to do that to us. Because if he can get us to buy into that script, we will stay in that script and we will live out of that script. And he knows if he can get us in that script, he's got us conquered. But God has something entirely different to say. Jesus came to set us free from our condemnation and guilt and our worry. We love this. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So the gift of salvation, man, it's a free gift. We receive it. We walk into it full arms. We didn't do anything to earn it. We walk right into it. But you know what? Once we have that free gift, then God tags us with an assignment. And he's like, now it's your job to renew your mind every single day. You have the option. We have the option and the privilege to steward or to take care of or to manage our thoughts, our internal dialogue, the script. We can be the writers of what's going on inside of our head. We don't have to buy in to the lie. But unfortunately, most people tend to fall down that pathway, and most of what they say to themselves, most of what we say to ourselves, doesn't always move us forward. God wants to move our lives forward to his best. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to face challenges and come through them successfully. Having a gift of salvation doesn't mean life will have no problems. What it means is we got God with us, and he wants us to walk through it, but we got to make sure our internal dialogue is in sync with what God wants to do, because we can inhibit that process if we're not careful. We can inhibit the very thing God wants to do inside of each one of our lives. So my goal today is really to encourage you to talk to yourself in a way that is consistent with what God says about you. Not from doubt, not from worry, but what God's word says about you. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not some of the things, I can do all of the things through Christ. When you really buy into that script, and that's the dialogue inside of your head, that is a powerful statement. That will change the game in your life. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When you buy into that hook, line, and sinker, all in. So if you're taking notes, I heard that on the front. If you're taking notes, write this down. It says, what you say to yourself is either going to move you forward or it's going to hold you back. The power to move our own life forward rests inside of our internal dialogue, our self-talk, what we say about us. What do you say about you? Remember, if we want to move our lives forward, we have to talk to ourselves in a way that is consistent with what God says about us. There's a story in the New Testament. There's a lady who had been dealing, they call it the woman with the issue of blood, and she had been dealing with this hemorrhaging bleeding problem for 12 years. And Jesus comes rolling into her town one day, doing ministry, loving on people, helping people. And here's what's interesting. I want to pull a piece of scripture from Matthew 9:21. Read along with me. I believe we have it on the screen. She says, she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be healed. Let's focus on that first line. She said to herself. What if she had said something different? What if her self-talk that day was, man, there are so many people, there is no possible way I'm going to get to Jesus. And in scripture, it even says the crowds were so thick, she had to fight her way through. You all have been at a very busy event when it's so thick, you're like wall-to-wall people. It was so thick, you couldn't even see Jesus. But what if she had said, oh, man, I'm bleeding, I'm weak, how in the world am I, no one's helping me, I have no help, I don't have an entourage to get me to Jesus. What if that would have been her script? Would her outcome have been different? Would she have received healing that day? She goes on to receive healing. And I would say it's largely in part because of her internal dialogue. She said to herself, if I can just reach out and touch his garment. Now, God's the one. He brings the miracle. He's got the power. He's the one that does God. But we play a part in this process. She said to herself. That kind of self-talk is what we want to buy in this weekend. I'm praying that God will speak to each and every one of us right where we're at, that he would come right up to our household, he would jump right in our thoughts with us, and he would show us those areas that we need to update our scripting. We have got old self-talk going on in certain areas of our life, and he would love to renew that in your life and to get new and different patterns going on. Second thing is that your self-talk is a habit of your mind that automatically thinks a certain way. Habitually, until we do something to retrain it. So how you're thinking up to this point in your life, whether you're aware of it or unaware of it, is a habitual process that all of us have trained our minds to think like. We're automatically on certain thought paths. When we hear something, we automatically think a certain way. We wake up and we think a certain way. This is years of us training ourselves, whether we realize it or not. Your self-talk could be one that are words of worry. And if you always have words of worry in your head, then your habits are going to be one that you're worrying all the time. Your self-talk is discouragement. Your habit is going to be, I'm always discouraged. Every time you get around, it's going to come out of your mouth. I'm discouraged. I'm just discouraged. What if your self-talk is inadequacy? That's the habit that will flow out of your life. You're always inadequate in every situation you face because what are you saying to yourself? I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. When you get into a situation that's tough, well, I can't handle it because I'm inadequate. It's what you're telling you. What we say to us is the most important thing. Doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what we say. What do we say when we face adversity and challenges? Hey, real quickly, pull out your smartphone. If you have your smartphone with you, pull your smartphone out. And if you have a neighbor who has one, you don't have yours, just look onto theirs. And turn on your camera into selfie mode, okay? Giving you permission to do a selfie right now. You don't have to take a picture unless you want to. You just might be that proud of yourself. You're like, bam, yes. Here's what we're going to do. Look into that camera. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see yourself? Some of you are like, well, I didn't get breakfast out all the way. Lord Jesus, get some floss and toothbrush. Okay. But on a serious note, that's surface level stuff, having a little fun. But what are the first three things every day when you look in the mirror? What goes through your mind when you see you? What's coming out of your own heart about you? What are the things in that ongoing, reoccurring pattern that is said about yourself, from yourself? What are you telling you? The good news is, God's word is so powerful, we can overwrite this stuff. We can begin a new habitual process that's fresh and new and different from what we've always experienced. If you look in that phone and you look in that rectangle box or that mirror every day and you see a failure, God's word can help you rewrite that script. You can overcome the habits of negativity that live inside your mind. You got to speak it. You got to meditate on it. You have to be intentional about it. David said in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, God." David understood the power of this very concept, that everything that he thought and harbored and held on to, let it be pleasing to God. Essentially, let it line up with what God says about himself. I grew up riding motocross a bit. I didn't race a lot, but if you know anything about motocross, if you ever watched like Supercross on TV, and you watch a racer, there are intentional lines that racers follow. And in motocross, you would call it a rut or a pathway or a line. And in motocross, you want to find the best line because different lines will give you different lap times. And the goal, obviously, is to win the race. So you're always looking for the fastest line. But you can be in a line that either serves you well, you can be in a rut that serves you well, or one that hinders you. You can get caught into a rut in a line that will destroy any opportunity you have to win that race. You can hit a jump, your back tire can hit into an old rut and flip you sideways, lose your momentum. You know, in neuroplasticity, we know that now we used to think our brains were a fixed state past a certain age, like we develop our brains solid, and whatever thought patterns we have, that's what we live with. All the research shows now that we can actually retrain and reshape our brain through our thought process. We can make new neural pathways and connections based on the thoughts that we choose to meditate on and think about. That's powerful. Our physical brain changes based on our thinking patterns that we choose to accept or reject. These habitual patterns that we're talking about, like the ruts on a motocross track that we get stuck in, it's the same way with our thinking. We have thought patterns that take us down a certain pathway, and we just always do it because that's what we've always done. The goal is, though, to live in a way that's consistent with God's word. So we actually have to realize, wow, I'm in a habit that's totally opposite of what God says about my life and what he wants to do with my life. But we can change it. We can change our internal dialogue. I want to give you that confidence and that hope today, because some of you are here and you're like, I've tried before and it didn't work. And look where I'm at now. We have to try again. Maybe you haven't tried the right habits. Maybe you weren't as intentional as you thought. I think a lot of times we think we try when something's hard. And if you get some honesty around you and some feedback, you really weren't trying that hard. Sometimes we are and we're just stuck. And sometimes we need legitimate help. Like, I really need some help. I'm stuck. I have really tried everything. I believe God wants to set us free today. And he wants to show you a new and a better pathway that you can get new, fresh self-talk going on inside your head. You know, a lot of our thought patterns, we develop ourselves, but some of them have been spoken over us. Our son, Kyan, who's now 8, he was 2 at the park years ago, and he was playing on a ladder. You know how little 2-year-olds, they're hilarious. They're learning how to climb and walk, and they're so funny. And so he's climbing the ladder, doing his thing, and this other little 3-year-old, you know, comes along behind him. He's totally unaware this kid's there. This kid's trying to, like, run up and pass him on the ladder going up to this big slide. Well, in the process, Kyan's still climbing the ladder, and he just kicks this kid in the face with his foot, totally unaware. And my wife Jody's standing there right next to him when this whole thing goes down, and this little 3-year-old just unleashes fury on him. He's just like, "You're stupid," and he just freaks out, and he's like, little kid obscenities, and, you know, he didn't know how to swear, but it was like, "You're a dumb face." Now little kids, they think they're, and Jody just immediately jumped in and started rewriting. She jumped in and said, you're not stupid. It was an accident. You had, you know, and she just started, "You're so smart." And she just started encouraging him, realizing these are moments in life that happen to all of us. People will say stuff. Sometimes it's unintentional. They'll say something and it sticks with you. I've been like in my adult life, you're going along good. And then one day you have an interaction. Someone says something. Sometimes they don't even mean to. And now, like a week later, you've got this, every time you face a scenario, you're like, "What? Where did that come from?" Now you have this new thing going on inside your head, and if you're not careful and you don't overwrite that thing, that will live in and become your new internal dialogue that you'll live out of. And all of us have to be careful and aware of that dialogue that's going on in our head, whether we put it there ourselves or whether someone else spoke it over us. Some of us are still living with an internal dialogue that we adapted from our childhood. Horrible things were spoken over some of you. Horrible. And that is not God's plan for any of us. In this world, we'll have trouble. In this world, people are going to say some mean stuff. But we don't have to live out of it. We can rewrite the script. We can rewrite our self-talk and our internal dialogue through God's word. King David, many of us are familiar. King David's like a legend in the Old Testament. He's a great warrior king. And he was coming back from a specific battle one day with his men. So him and his men, if you can imagine, they're out at battle. They've just come off the battlefield, defending their country, taking territory, fighting off the evil people. And they get back to their hometown, and it had been ravaged by their enemy. Many of their wives and children were taken captive. They stole all their stuff. I mean, you can imagine there's probably some murder involved. There's rape involved. There's all kinds of just horrible, horrible stuff. And he comes back to this scene, and now his men, who he's just spent all this time in battle with, start turning on him. And whatever people were left over in the town started turning and hating on and shouting obscenities at David, King David. They're just like out of their anger and obviously very frustrating moment. And they just unleash hate all over David. They're speaking all kinds of, like, can you imagine what they'd be saying? David, can't believe we put our trust in you. And now look what happened. Our whole family's dead. You're responsible for this whole thing. Who do you think you are? You'll never amount to anything. They probably threatened his life. But what did David do in 1 Samuel 30? David, in the middle of all that, encouraged himself in the Lord. We don't know exactly what David said to encourage himself, but we know it brought him strength. It probably sounded something like this. God, I know you were with me when I fought the bear, when I fought the lion. God, when I fought the giant. Every battle I've been on, you've been with me. Your favor is on me. There's nothing too difficult that you can't get me through. That had to be in his reoccurring thought pattern. It was David's habit to meditate on God's word. We read that. His habit to please God with his thoughts. So how's David going to move forward? In the middle of the worst circumstance, he encouraged himself. It's almost like David said to himself, God, I still put my trust in you. I still know you can find a way out of this. I still know you can bring me out of the darkest moment of my life. In this moment, God, you're still worth it. And what did David do? He overwrote the script. And here's what I want to point out. Every time we choose God's way, there's always a great reward attached to it. The woman with the issue of blood, she got her healing because her self-talk was right. David, God went on to restore David. He got his self-talk right. He continued to follow in what God was saying and speaking over his life. Proverbs 18:21 that says, the power of life and death are in our tongue. Now, self-talk, we don't always vocalize our self-talk, obviously. It's inside our head. But they are real words that we're saying to ourselves. The power of life and death is in our self-talk. It's in the words that we speak to ourselves. And what we say to ourselves is the most powerful thing that is said. God can say one thing, but if we don't grab a hold of that and say it to ourselves, it will negate what God's trying to say and what God's trying to do and what blessing God's trying to bring into our life. He wants to do something fresh and new in all of our hearts as we continue to renew our mind and be careful with the words that we speak to ourselves. So, number three, when you upgrade the way you talk to yourself, you will upgrade your life experience. 100% of the time. There's a great story that happened in the news over the last week or two. And it's about a young man. His name is Walter Carr. And he's about 20, I think, from the story. And if you haven't heard the story, it's been all over national news the last week. And Google his name now, you'll see the story. But I'm going to just paraphrase it real quickly. So essentially, Walter gets a new job. And the week leading up to his new job, his car breaks down. I don't know exactly how it happened or what happened, but his car breaks down. So now he's got this new job and no way to get there. So he sets up a ride. The ride falls through on him the night before. He's literally out of options. He has no other options. You can imagine he's exhausted every option, called all his friends and family. No, like, can't get there. He's got a 14-mile trip to work, first day on the job. So what does he decide to do? I'm going to walk. You know what time he left? Midnight to get there for an 8 a.m. start time. Midnight. Walter said to himself, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to make sure that I'm there for my job. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make it happen. Ain't nothing stopping me. In the process, he was helped out by a few different police officers, got him there, got him breakfast. He ended up an hour early at his job. ready to roll. They kept trying to tell him, like, do you need a nap or anything? He's like, no, I just want to work, man. I was like, I'm getting ready. Well, his boss finds out about this whole thing, right? I don't know if they heard from the news channel or someone tells the story. Boss finds out, is so blown away, he gives Walter a brand new car. Says, you know what? You get a new car. My new number one employee who will walk 14 miles leaving at midnight to get to work on time. However, what if it had been different? What if Walter said something different? What if he said, oh, there it goes again. Every time I try something good, my car breaks down. Everyone fails me. It's not going to happen. Just not in the cards for me. But no, Walter was rewarded because he had his self-talk right. He was saying the right things inside. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to make this happen. And I don't know if Walter is a Jesus believer or not, but I'm just imagining Walter's like, hey, God, you're with me. You're going to help me. We're going to find a way through this. Now look, it's entirely different. He's on national news. You Google Walter Carr, he's the guy that shows up on Google. His face plastered all over the news story. If he had said something different, that next day, these next few weeks would have looked entirely different in his life. But Walter said to himself, I can do this. I will find a way. And I want all of us to imagine new conversations every time we run into adversity and that old pattern kicks back up in our head. Remember these stories. No, I'm going to say to myself what God says. He's going to help me find a way through this. I'm going to move forward toward everything He has in store for me. And when you don't give up on your positive self-talk based on what God says about you, when you don't give up through time and through process, God will open doors and make a way that will blow your mind, will absolutely blow your mind. We have a really cool book that we love to give away. Anytime someone prays the prayer of salvation in the life of our church, in our services, we give this book away free, written by Pastor Kevin. It's called Mind Monsters. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because in that book is a really cool tool, if you will, of how you overcome negative thinking patterns. And you can write this down or you can grab the book if you don't already have it. But there are four things. The first thing is we have to recognize the negativity. We have to start with just, wow, I really do have some negative stuff going on in there. That's not right. Then we need to start rejecting it. Identify that it's there and be like, hey, you're not coming in. Not in my house, not in my head. Number three is we have to begin to replace it with something new based on God's word. This is where we get a new script going. This is where we build new habit patterns. This is where we meditate on different words, different than what we've been speaking currently. Put it up on your mirror, put it on your phone, put it everywhere you have to. Play it to yourself in the car. Maybe it's the only thing you should listen to. Stop listening to all your other music and put on your affirmations based on what God says. Read that every single day. Because unless we get that into our heads, see, our self-talk, it's at a conscious level, but it's then at a subconscious level. Because what we say to ourselves in our head eventually gets deep down into our spirit. And then it becomes the thing that we live out of. So we have to reprogram the depths of our heart based on what we're repeating and thinking about and saying every single day. You see, today God wants to free you. He does really want to free you from your old patterns of bondage. But we all play a part in that process. I wish we could just pray it away. But the Bible encourages us to daily renew our mind. To renew our mind daily. It's a process. It's effort. It's work. But man, it's worth it. It's so worth it. If you're here this weekend and you're just looking at your life feeling like, wow, I really do got some negative stuff going on. It can feel like I've dealt with people that have dealt with high levels of anxiety and depression, and I don't want to treat any of that lightly whatsoever. But when you spend time in therapy and counseling, they're going to walk you through the same process. And I want to take it one level further. You got to make sure it's built on God's word. Positive things are awesome, but make sure it's all based on God's word. Because a lot of times the habitual patterns we get into, we find ourselves there because we've lived out of a script of negativity so long.
that we bought into it at such a deep level. And we have to begin to rewrite that to overcome it. So I would love this. Would you all stand with me to your feet? I want to pray over our entire church this weekend. And like I said earlier, a simple prayer, I believe prayer is powerful. I know when we pray, God moves and he has fresh things in store. But what I'm hoping is that this prayer opens the doorway for new wisdom in your life, for new patterns that you'll begin to act out, that you'll take on and allow God in this moment to get you back to a level of honesty, to say, you know what, I need to try again. I need to start again. I need to engage God again. I need to get in this process again. You might be here, maybe you don't even really feel like you're a Christian or you're serving God. Somehow you found yourself here at Champion Center this weekend. And I want to encourage you, God has incredible things in store for your life. And those things that have been spoken over you and said to you don't have to be that way. You can start a new process and a new script right here this weekend. So I'm going to pray together, and then in just a few minutes, our band's going to come in, and we're going to re-sing a song that we sang earlier. This is an awesome song that helps us with rewriting our script about who God says we are. Confessions that we want to confess about ourselves based on God's word and God's scripture. So if you would, if you're here this weekend, I think all of us have some self-talk we can upgrade. I know I do. And I think we could all say at some level that God would show up and bring wisdom, bring clarity, help us to recognize those areas that we've got some deep-rooted issues in our self-talk. So let's just go to God boldly. Father, we love you. In this moment, we're here this weekend with open arms and open hearts. God, we know in a moment through prayer, you are powerful. And God, I pray in this moment right now, you would give hope. You are bringing hope back to our hearts, God, that we can begin rewriting the negativity that we've allowed inside of our head and inside of our heart, Lord. And I pray as we engage this process, God, you would bring the right people, the right scripture, God, the right teaching from church, the right people and friends, God, the right life groups that we can begin to engage in new mind renewal process to rewrite the scripting on our hearts. So Jesus, do what only you can do, God. We know you're the one that brings the miracle. You're the one that brings the breakthrough and the power. So God, we honor you in this moment. Let's sing to God in this moment. Let's sing this song to him and confess this over our life. Even if you don't believe it, confess this song over your life in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.